I want to talk now for a few minutes about the care of the small groups. The way we've designed the small groups for the internal care is if you have somebody in your small group ministry that gets sick and goes in the hospital, the first, unless it's a life and death situation, talking about someone goes in for an appendix or goes in for whatever. Well, heart attack's a little more serious. I'm talking, gallbladder, yeah. Gallbladder, tonsillitis, got a cold, pneumonia, slipped and fell and cut their leg, 20 stitches. These all are facilitated by the small group parents, cell servants, cell interns. Don't understand that? Okay. It's okay for you to call me, and if it's a serious enough issue, I will follow up and check on them. But this is cared for by the body, first and foremost. And then, for instance, Shannon Minery lost her grandmother this morning. Now, that's a whole different story. The second I heard that, I was there at the hospital. And I welcome the support of the small group ministries and the Jonathan Monkworth did swing by there, and I think the cell servant was going to do it too. But it's important for your involvement, but I will be involved there. But kind of how this is dwindled down is sometimes we get the phone calls. Well, Pastor Jane Smith is in Heartland, and she's having her tonsils removed. Do you want to do this? Or do you want me? There's no, do you want to do this or don't want me? It's already known. You should be calling me from the hospital to tell me, by the way, I just visited Jane Smith. She's in room 27. And if you'd like to go by, here's your information. Don't understand that? These are all cared for by the group. Okay. And please, 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 be sure that if someone in the group goes through something, designate somebody to send a card. Have a designated card writer. Now, hopefully it won't be like our group. We had a designated card writer, and she did it so many times that when they went through something, we just didn't worry about it because she always did it. And we just think, well, I don't guess she can send herself a card. And so it was an oops. Uh-oh. And thank God the church did come through and did send them a plant and did call, but the group did nothing because, you know, she always takes care of it. Now, wait a second. She is the one needing the card. So that was a real uh-oh, and we've had to patch that puppy up. But just please don't let it be that you've got people coming to your group that goes through something without. And again, this brings me up to my topic tonight. Everyone say delegate. We've got to learn the art of delegating. And if you try to do everything yourself, it's going to fail somewhere. And delegation doesn't mean giving it to somebody and forgetting about it. You've got to follow through. You've got to check with them, make sure it was done until it's a smooth process. So I'm going to go into my topic tonight. Before I do, any questions or comments? Delegating is not a catchy phrase, nor a magic cure-all wand, or power whereby miracles happen. We'd like to think that way. It's not a fancy name to take the sting from blunt orders. It's not the way to pass the buck and get rid of dirty work. Delegating is just recognizing the power of having those around you. Sometimes you'd even realize. Sometimes I'm not even aware what's in the pew. Sometimes, a case in point here is when I shared with the church about the forms and how, you know, I know it's all waiting on me to get a form done. And little did I know that Sister Dome was just recently, freshly, completely trained in Adobe Acrobat doing forms for online. And so she, of course, I'm waiting for the CD of it, but she's got it here. And it's right there on the computer. So the very thing that I was needing is done. She took care of it. And it was a simple act of me just saying, go for it, sister. That's all part of it. But if everything constantly bottlenecks to you as a self-servant, then your small group is going to be constantly frustrated because you're going to be overworked and overloaded. And you're going to be dropping the ball. And every single one of you, I've made sure there's not one group in this church that you don't have at least one capable member. Nobody has all people that can't do nothing. And the problem is sometimes if you think everybody in the group is not able to do everything, you know, what you're doing, it's because you haven't tried. Give them a chance. Give them a shot to help. But don't be afraid. Now, the difference between delegating and then going and signing someone up without their knowledge. We've had that happen. And that's not fair. You can't do that. You can't just go, oh, I know that so-and-so can do this, so sign him up. No. You call them and you say, how's your schedule and can you do this? Recently we had somebody that just got signed up to do something and they had no clue. They were just notified that so-and-so signed them up. We can't do that. Yes, that's just plain rude. That's all there is to it. You know, give the person the respect. You know, don't. For instance, if I know that Ron Norris knows how to dig post holes, and we're trying to dig a post hole, I'm not going to go over and tell Joshua Lewis, Ron Norris, take care of that. You know, I've just agreed to him something I didn't even check with him on. The proper thing is, ring, ring, ring. Hey, Brother Ronnie, can you help us with the fence Tuesday night? Yeah, I can probably offer an hour. Okay, great. Then I can say, Ron Norris is your man. Go talk to him. You understand that process? Okay. See, some people name delegation. And they don't understand what delegation is. And so they try to, well, I delegated it. Well, what you did is you volunteered them. And they didn't even realize they got volunteered. Tell somebody, that's not delegation. Kind of like in California, they started the Hunter City course, and this is a true story. It all came from a banker who went hunting in the Stockton area up in the Sierra Nevadas. And he decided he wanted to go deer hunting, so he'd never been hunting his whole life. He was in San Francisco. He went and he bought him a gun at the pawn shop and said, I want to go deer hunting. What kind of gun do you want? And they gave him a nice .30-06 with scope on it. And so he got in his truck opening day, bought his tag and everything else, and went up to go hunting. And about an hour later, he calls back and says, I need some help with this deer. I got a big one. And his friend's buddy said, well, that's odd. I mean, it's pretty good. You got it the first hour of opening season. He said, where'd you get it? He said, well, I was just driving along, and I saw him standing out in the field. He goes, you're kidding. He goes, yeah. He's big. I can't move him. So, of course, they pull up in the field, and here's this cow laying there. And of course, the man says, yeah, I thought it was kind of funny. He had a bell on his neck. Now, that's a true story. That's not a joke. That really happened. That deer had a bell on his neck. That's the oddest thing I ever saw in my life. Of course, then he had to pay that farmer a couple $1,000 for all the meat that he just bought. And what is it? He'd heard about a deer. He'd never seen one, and so he just said, there's a deer. Delegation is something that we got to understand. And if you've never seen it or never had it explained to you, then tonight I'm going to explain to you what I mean when I tell you, delegate it. Delegate it to somebody. Get your small group involved. Remember, it's about everybody. That's why we don't sit up and just one person read all the scriptures and read. You want everybody doing something. You want one person reading the icebreaker. One person, a bunch of people reading the scriptures. One person reading the questions. One person reading the topic. One person doing the goal. I mean, by the time you get done with the group, everybody in your group should have done some part of your edification. But carry that over to delegation to make things happen. And I think, and it's once again, if everybody carries a load, then nobody's overloaded. Nobody's suffering. So, Delegation is a process that will work with time, effort, and persistence to make it so. It's scriptural and can be the means of getting much more accomplished. This is a crying need in this critical period when opportunities are ripe for the gospel to go forward. Responsibilities are great to match the many benefits we have already. The ability to delegate wisely, effectively, and successfully can increase the effectiveness of what you do by two or threefold or more. Delegating is simply the entrusting of duties to be performed and the transfer of authority to do those duties. Once again, delegating is the entrusting of duties to be performed and then the transferring of authority to do those duties. Usually, when I delegate something to somebody, an hour later I see that I have the opportunity to get it done, I'll pick the phone up and I'll call and I'll say, "Have you done that yet?" "Well, no, you know what, I'll take care of it. I'm right here, I can knock it out." But don't ever delegate something to somebody and then come back and take it back from them without talking to them. That's humiliating. Delegate it, and if you're going to do it, contact them and let them know that, you know, I'll take care of that. Don't worry about it. But also, when you delegate something, guide them if they ask you a question, but resist the attempt or the temptation to peer over their shoulder. Don't look down at what they're doing and inspect them every second of the moment. Give them an opportunity to do it without you inspecting them closely. Nobody likes to have a job delegated and someone's dogging them every step of the way. But it doesn't mean that you don't demand accountability. You delegate, check up on it, and make sure. Because once again, just because you delegated doesn't mean it's over with. Follow up. Phone call. Did you do what you said? When are you going to do it? What's your plans? And make sure you're familiar with the process of it. Maybe Jamie, if you could slip out. Thank you. Delegating is a complicated process because it involves the relationships between the most sensitive machines in the world, people. If it wasn't dealing with people, delegation would be simple. Punch in the computer, it's done. As long as the computer don't crash, but you're dealing with people. The purpose of delegation is to strengthen the overall team. Carefully planning and delegating can make work go easier. Spur of the moment delegating is seldom effective. There's a lack of planning and attitudes that trigger the impulses are not the sort that make delegating work. You've got to plan out. Don't be the person. See, some people delegating to them is just a response. A result of their poor planning. They don't plan properly. They don't plan out. So they've got something they got to do. And so what they do at the last minute, they make their emergency everybody's emergency. And they're grabbing everyone they can to get them involved to get it done. That's not delegation. That's confusion. Delegation is carefully planning out, knowing, okay, 7 days from now, I've got this plan. So 7 days before what you got is planned, you call somebody and say, "Can you help us on Saturday?" You don't call them an hour before your event to scramble, because then, you know, that's just unfair to people. And then you can't come back to me and say, "Well, Pastor, everybody says they're busy." Well, no duh. You didn't give anybody even a day's notice to plan. And people can't just drop everything they're doing to jump on board. You've got to plan. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So, carefully planned delegation can make whatever work you do easier. Delegating is shifting from some of the thinking and responsibilities from one person to incorporating many people. Delegating is not just getting others to help us do our job, but it's giving the authority and the freedom to handle details on their own initiative. Nothing wrong. I don't mind giving somebody something to do, and they may see a different way to do it. That's fine as long as you have the same result. But if you change how something's done and the result's different, then there's a problem. So don't be afraid to let someone use their creativity and their initiative to do it, but be sure they understand what you're expecting in the end so you're talking apples to apples and you're ending up with the same response or result that you're expecting. You see, this is the point where many stumble. As the pioneer spirit is in stark contrast to the process of delegating because it changes a one-person activity into a working organization. And once again, the biggest stumbling block to delegation is, yes, it's easier for you to get it done. But you're free to do more yourself when you involve others. And the stress you might have to go through to train somebody is worth it in the long run by the time you're going to save. Don't ever send somebody to do a job untrained. You're asking for failure. You're asking for problems. Don't ever assume. When you delegate something to somebody, let me give you, for instance, we need to vacuum the carpet for church. It's very important that the carpet is vacuumed with patterns. Now, don't just say, you know what, you got to vacuum the patterns. Because the person who's vacuuming is going to think you just want pretty patterns. And they may say, well, then I like circles. There's a reason why we vacuum patterns. It's for the preservation of the carpet. That's why our carpet has lasted as many years as it has. Because we have vacuumed according to the patterns, according to the way the carpet stands, and things of that nature. Now, you just hand somebody a vacuum, and you don't train them, then you've not really delegated. Delegation also includes stopping to make sure not only do they know what they're doing, but the reason why they're doing it. It's like that little bit, you know, and of course I'm probably embarrassed, so Sheila, I don't mean to. But recently someone was in here and they're vacuuming, and they were just vacuuming, and I walked up and I said, has anyone ever showed you how to do patterns? No. But do you know why we do patterns? Well, no, I just taught you I like to pray triangles. I said, no. You're going to go through it all. Oh, okay. Everyone understand? Don't just train them what they're doing, but why. Like paperwork. And thank God all the paperwork came in on time this week. Give yourself a hand. Man, miracles never cease to happen. We are in a day of miracles. We still serve a God of miracles. But this is not a one-time miracle. I hope this is a permanent miracle. I have faith for it. But there's a reason why everything on that sheet is that way. So when you hand somebody and show them yes or no on the side, you put the number of people and you circle that number and you write down the left-hand corner where you're having the meeting next week, tell them why. Why do you got to put that number in circles? Because pastor's getting 15 pages of paper. It saves him having to stop and count all the names. He can glance at it and see in a second how many people's there and be through the paperwork. And, of course, pastor doesn't do it anymore. Small group's pastor over there. Markworth, but still, it just makes it much quicker for data input. Why do you write the name down left? Who knows here? Why do you write the name on the left-hand corner of the paperwork, Brother Chris? That is one of the reasons. But also, exactly. Case in point, we had a home friendship group that a visitor wanted to come to. And so I said, no problem. I went and pulled the paperwork, and it was at this certain house. But they had changed it at the last minute and had not let us know. And so I sent this person his address. And I was 15 minutes late. Pulled up to find the person fixing the leave because the house was dark. Nobody was there. Now, I'm in a panic. Because I have no idea. It's not pastors dictating and I've got to know everything you're doing. No, it's just it helps with the process of small group ministry. And inevitably, you could have 52 weeks in a year. But that's not going to happen. But the 1 week you don't do it is going to be the week someone wants. That's just Murphy's Law. So just get these things down pat. But be sure you're explaining to them why you write that in the left-hand corner. It saves me having to get on the phone and chase someone down to find out where the home pressure group is that night. It's just simple enough as pulling the paperwork. I know it's there. It's a process. It's set. Amen. How many know why it's important for you to write your notes on the back of the home friendship group paper? Yes, sir. Well, week to week, so you can communicate with me. If I get 15 phone calls in trying to tell me what's... number one, I'm not going to remember everything you're saying. Yeah. But when it's written down, I can lay it on my desk. And when I have a few moments and I'm not being pulled 90 different directions, which is very uncommon, I'll read over it. And give me time to look at it. Think about it. Come back to it an hour later. Pray over it before I come back and talk about it. Especially issues. Of course, you don't want to be delegating the issue of the week club to someone in the group. As a cell servant, you need to take care of all issues yourself. One thing that might surprise you in delegation is the very thing that you can't stand to do, someone just loves to do it. So don't take your personal distaste for something that everyone else can't stand. If you can't stand in filling out that paperwork, delegate it, but make sure it's done right. Because someone else may just be chomping at the bits. And they'd love to do filling it out. Okay, I'm not going to get this lesson if I don't hurry up here. Delegated is entrusted almost completely to team members with few strings attached as they carry out responsibilities. The team member is left to plan and to run a delegated task. We decide with him the goal to be reached and to give him the least possible supervision in reaching it. In order to make delegation work, the delegate must realize he is doing his work with the supervisor, not for him. Hello, somebody. You have to make sure that person knows you're still working together as a team. He's not just taking the load off your shoulders. Hello? Amen. Do it yourself is for the handy homeowner, not for the cell servant or the leader. Smart leaders have learned that they get more work done by delegating things to others. It gives you more hours to work with. It also helps you with what we talked about this weekend, developing leaders under you. The first step is the hardest. It's the decision on, okay, to whom do I trust this worthy cause? The successful leader is one who is willing to accept and support decisions made and actions taken by those who are working with him on the team. When you delegate authority to another, you don't surrender your rights and responsibilities. You remain accountable for whatever is being done. Responsibility clings even if it's delegated. Delegating is not a duplication of our job. Usually we think in terms of getting someone else to help me out. That's not what you're doing. Now, some people are so authoritative that their makeup is that it's almost impossible for them to develop a desire to delegate. They can plan the work for the team member, pass out the assignments, but can't bring themselves to give the freedom to allow them to act and do it and take care of the commands. Andrew Carnegie once said, it marks a big step in a man's development when he comes to realize that other men can be called in to help him do a better job than he can do himself alone. The secret of success is not doing your own work, but in recognizing the right person to do it. This is how Frank Woolworth put it after suffering a nervous breakdown from overwork. I lost my conceit that nobody could do anything as well as I could. So long as I had the idea that I must attend personally to everything, large scale was next to impossible. And I'll be honest with you. This is probably one of my greatest challenges. And you have no clue what a challenge and what an accomplishment it was for me to release areas of the 50th anniversary to people and honestly not worry about it. But I practice these things too. Amen. Delegate in a climate of mutual trust. You have to create a climate where team members are not afraid to bring ideas and information to you. Delegating gets into operation in a step-by-step fashion as habits slowly change and the human climate becomes more permissive for personal initiative. Delegating is an integral part of a team leader and team members' personality makeup. It is as much of a state of mind as it is the changing of a chart or a plan. Until a person has his state of mind, he is not ready to delegate. Each must realize that, number one, responsibility is shared. Number two, you've got to give them enough authority to get the job done. Number three, decision-making is shared. And number four, that person has the full confidence that he has the freedom to act. Now, each personality type will react to delegation differently. The sanguine, he'll delegate and forget about it. He can't even remember who he delegated it to. Yeah, I gave somebody that. I don't know who it was. Yeah. Someone's doing that. The phlegmatic, he never gets around delegating because he can't get the courage enough up to ask someone to do it. You'll ask him to delegate that. Well, yeah, I was meaning to. And then he get around to it. I'll do it. Pick that phone up and make that phone call. It's the most hard thing in the world, that phlegmatic, because he doesn't want to bother nobody. He doesn't want to be a bother. And, you know, the caller, delegation for him, just better be done right. You know what the choleric's life motto is? Do it my way and do it now. That's the choleric's mode of life. Sometimes that has a little trouble with delegating. Melancholy. He's the martyr. The melancholy can't release it. Melancholy gives it all out. Delegation. And the second someone says, boy, this is tough. You know you're right. I'll go ahead and do it. I'll take it. It's okay. I'll do it. And then they load themselves so heavy, they're just, you know, because they're always the martyr. Killing themselves. Oh, don't you worry. I'll take the heart attack. I'll have the stroke. Come on, somebody. So their emotions get involved. And they're always, you know, stepping in and letting, you know, people who should be responsible for delegating, let them off the hook. So every personality type struggles with delegation. But we all have got to learn how to delegate properly. Amen. And what I found is if you set your mind to it and your heart to it, you can learn any proper action. And it can become a habit. Amen. And after a while, the very thing you struggle with because it wasn't your nature can become just doing the right thing because you practice. I happen to think probably the greatest delegators that could be are phlegmatics. The phlegmatics are so kind. They're always so nice. They'll just never, they wouldn't even, it'd take all the strength in the world for them to offend somebody. Cholerics get up with the fence just surrounding them. You know, they're just That's just how they are. And so what cholerics do every day of their life, a phlegmatic, it takes them a million years to bring themselves even think of doing that. So a cholerics got no problem picking the phone up saying, hey, man, I need you to help with something, you know. Hey, you got a second? Hello, somebody. Oh, no. But you know, just like a choleric can learn how to tone it down a bit, a phlegmatic can learn how to be a little more assertive and ask people for things. It's not going to come emotionally. It's going to come by choice. Everyone say choice. So, Mr. Sanguine, don't delegate and forget. You must delegate, but watch and lend a helping hand as soon as help is needed. Control and freedom to act must be properly balanced in this art. Interest in the progress being made by the team member must be maintained, but don't keep your finger in every move made by those under you, or they'll become nervous and even falter in their development. And that can go for colleagues too. Someone got a mirror I can just put right here. Ask yourself the question, how is that man getting along in looking after the details? It will remind you not to delegate and forget. Brother, the man that was here this weekend, a couple, Falky. That's the ever choleric, on to the next thing. You know, they're gone, God bless you, let's move on, what's next? Hallelujah. Yeah, so-and-so that was here. But he nailed me. He only had to be around me for half a day. And he said, you're, what, about 80% choleric? I'm not detail-oriented. My favorite thing, talking to someone, especially a detailed melancholy or a talkative, talk about everything in the world, sanguine, is get to the point. So, bottom line is, I just don't handle details well. Yeah. Hello, somebody. And I mean, but it's just because, so as a result, I got to have detailed people around me to handle the details. To delegate details too. Amen. Sometimes detail-oriented people need a choleric around to get them moving. You say it don't matter what color it is, just get her done. Hello, somebody. Choose red. Red's good. I mean, how many shades of red? Close your eyes and point to one. Just have it done by five. Hello, somebody. See how it all balances itself out? Smooth the paths of team members or those that you delegate to. The possibility of the delegating process working smoothly can be enhanced by the following few basic procedures. First of all, tell others, and I've learned this the hard way, I always thought that, you know, okay, I'm gonna knight Sir Ron to be the new captain of this army over here, and boom, go do it. But I forget sometimes I have to learn that I gotta knight him and say, just stay put, don't move an inch, and run over and get the team and army together. Guess what? Hello, notification, you got a new captain coming. And he's been authorized to do this, and this, and work with him, please. It helps so much better to prepare people. Of course, this Romana, she became a director, and even though she's a director, she had to come to my office and say, am I the new director of this daycare? I said, yep. But she's done a good job. Everything's going well. It's just the bar works every day, so that's a good thing for her, an employee, to be saying amen. Amen. So I had folks walking in saying, do we have a new director? I said, yeah. Details. To me, new director? Fine. God bless you. Thank you for your work. You ready? You go. That's my process. Simple. I know you love me. You wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't. I'd be talking to him here. Secondly, share your knowledge with the team member. Don't leave him out there to sink or swim. If possible, add responsibilities gradually. I need to learn this, don't I? So the subordinate or the team member can get the feel of what's expected of him. And finally, to make the path smoother for those you delegate to, give all the facts about the responsibility to the person to whom you delegate the authority. Provide them with a clear picture on what they're supposed to do. And be specific about objectives desired. And don't leave to the imagination anything that's important to you that you want to convey. I've had to learn this. I've learned if it's very important to me, I've got to stop, regardless of how much I hate details, and break it down for somebody. More often than not, I've been standing there demanding to find out know why someone didn't do something, and they honestly didn't have a clue that was expected of them. Because I just assumed that if they did that, that's what you're supposed to do. And sometimes people just haven't had the training. They haven't had the time. They don't have a clue. So, then finally, and I'm going to close. Delegation, and this is a biggie. And I feel this is all these other areas where maybe I fall a little short. Maybe a whole lot short. This is where I feel I do excel. That is communication. Communication is key to proper delegation. If delegating is to work, it should, and in the end, result. And in the end, results turn out as desired. Attention must be paid to the importance of communication and how it can be effective. As information is passed from one level to another, there tends to be a fall-off in the number of details that get through. Everybody right here, stand up. Just take one step out in the aisle. Turn and put your arms out like this. And give yourself a space from the arms. Space out. So you're just standing one by one, arm by arm. But the Michael's not going to be able to do this, so. Okay. You ready? Sister Dolores. You tell him in his ear, but not, you know, don't nibble on his ear or nothing. Just tell him in his ear what I tell you right now. Oh, well, good. Keep it going. Keep it going. Go ahead. Okay, Sister Padgett, what's the message? Wow, that's about the most. What did I tell her? Hang on. Brother Joseph, what did you hear? What was that? But see, one, two, three, four down, already one word is lost. Five, six, seven down, the whole message is lost. It's all about communication. Thank you. Put your hands together and thank them for their help. All I'm trying to say is, all it took was four repetitions, and look at how much details were lost. Yeah. So keep that in mind about communication. The more people you expect to go through, the more the message is going to get twisted. $3 for $1 over at Walmart. Many times there are losses, changes, omissions, and distortions of the fact. Each one of us filters out what he can't remember, what he thinks is on. That's why, you know, poor Sister Lori, she probably gets so tired of hearing me say this. But I've had to learn. When I give her instructions that are important to me to be followed out to the T, I say, do you have a pen? Because if she writes it down, then most usually 80% of what I said is going to get done. I'm sorry. If I tell her, there's no telling what's going to get done. I've had her type out something and I said, who said this? And it was nothing. Just because communication. I told someone to tell her what to write. And by the time it got to her, I'm just glad the letter didn't go out. And that's why I try to communicate with you by memos. Because a memo is the same thing to every box. And it's clear and concise. And there's no loss. Now, here are some things you can do to help reduce the loss in your home friendship group when you're trying to communicate something that I have given you clearly. Because I've given things clearly. And by the time they got down to so-and-so, I was like, I never said that. Well, so-and-so said it. Here's how you avoid the loss of communication and delegation. And I am going to close this point. First of all, hand the receiver of the information some paper and a pencil and encourage him to write it down. Or her. I can't begin to tell you how many times I've told somebody, do you have a pencil or a pen? And I'm telling them something very important, and I know the exact detail of what I'm telling them has got to be preserved. I can't get, you know, especially people who say, okay, who shall say is calling? I stop and say, you got a pen and paper? Because what will happen is an hour later they'll say, is there a anchovy in the house? Or Zendifical? Or, yeah. Why? Because they didn't write it down. The very fact when you write it down will help you, not 50%, it's been proven. What you write down, you'll remember 70% more clearly. Number two, give the details in order and in an outline form. A, this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. B, this, da-da-da-da-da-da. C, that's outline form. Three, make headings and list them in 1, 2, 3 order. Four, ask the question as you proceed. Stop and say, what I'm telling you, is it clear so far? Are you following me? And sometimes if I don't think there, I'll stop and say, repeat back to me what I just said. That's just a good sign whether you're communicating properly or not. If you say, you need to vacuum patterns in the carpet to preserve the carpet, and this is how you do it back and forth. Now, what are you doing right now? I'm vacuuming lines in the carpet. Either you haven't communicated properly, or their receiver's not on. I can't begin to tell you people I've talked to, and they shook their head, yeah. And then I stop and say, what are you fixing to do? And they had no clue. I got two of those at home. You got three, huh? A lot of times I found that when I'm talking to people. To make sure that I'm hearing what I'm hearing you say, I stop and I repeat back to you. Or I ask you a question about, okay, you just said this, this, and this. So are you meaning this, this, and this? Yeah, okay, we're communicating. Sometimes they say, oh, no, I didn't mean that at all. I could have left thinking they said one thing and they said something else. Five, encourage the listener to ask questions, like I said, now you tell back to me. Six, gain the person's acceptance. Make him want to do it rather than feel he has to do it. And that's an art. If anyone finds a trick to that, please drop it in my box. Most usually it's just incentive. It's if someone loves the kingdom of God enough, they're going to do it. But you got to make somebody want to do it, not like they have to. Use the language at the person's level. Don't use acronyms that they have no clue what you're talking about. Don't sit there and say, could you expedite the process of the receiving end of the delegated tables? Huh? Hurry up. We need the tables. Think about tables and chairs. Did all our tables and chairs get back in there? They did. Awesome. 8. Allow enough time to give the assignment. Once again, don't let your lack of preparation be everyone else's emergency. Give them enough time to do the assignment. 9. Plan a time schedule and let him participate in the planning of it. 10. Give the person you're delegating to suggestions on how to do what he's doing. Give them several suggestions on how they can accomplish what you're delegating to them. Next, and this is a biggie, after you've delegated something to somebody, leave the door open. Make them feel comfortable with picking the phone up and calling you if they bog down. Don't delegate it and then make them feel like they can't come back to you and say, you know, I really am not sure if I know how this needs to be done. They need to have that comfort level to be able to come back to you. So how do you leave the door open? You state. Now, if you run into a problem, call me. If anything arises on this, you call me. Let that be one of your parting words. And finally, this is a big part. Show respect for their ability. A lot of times if I question someone's ability, I'll use the term, now I know you probably know how to do this, and you're probably better at it than I am. But let me give you a few suggestions on how you might try to do this. So that way you're respecting their ability, but also leaving assured you know they're able to do what you delegated to them. Amen? Amen. Well, all of us here, and there's probably 25 here, if we could learn to delegate more efficiently, then you're going to find an increase in your availability and ability to do what you're supposed to do. Some of you here tonight, you could have probably stood up here and taught this lesson on delegation because you're very versed at it. Some of you, maybe I've given you some tidbits help you with it. Let's leave here tonight and be sure